So Isaiah, that 53rd chapter, Isaiah saw more concerning the Messiah than any of the prophets. Well, at least he records more. Isaiah 53, talking about the crucifixion of Christ, he says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are made whole." By his stripes that broke the skin, poured out the blood, we are healed.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the Gospel of Mark. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Handling Christians is the title of Pastor Rick's message. He'll be teaching in Mark chapter 14 today.
In verse 23, where he says, "Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it." The Roman Catholics are known to call this the Eucharist, which simply means to give thanks in the Greek. I prefer communion. I disagree with them on everything, everything concerning Christ. I do. It is categorical. But anyway, he gave it to them. It is his to give. It was his body to give, and he gives it to us. And so communion is a big deal for us. Don't think that you need to have, you know, we need special music. We need to be together and pass the bread and the cup in remembrance of him. They all drank, and as I said, I believe Judas drank too. Many commentators don't share that view. I like when they're wrong and I'm right. It makes me feel superior, and I need that for my self-image. I'm hoping nobody's taking me too seriously with that. Verse 24, "And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the new covenant which is shed for you.'" A new covenant which the nation Israel currently rejects, the people of Israel. Individual Jews can be saved and are saved. They are part of this covenant. But overall, Israel is not interested. They think Christ was a lot of things that are not very good. Jesus is fulfilling, just in one instance, Jeremiah 31:31, where he tells the Jewish people, "Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now, that will not happen until the millennial reign for the house of Israel, the house of Judah, but has happened for believers of Jesus Christ. That's Jeremiah 31:31. Incidentally, if you're not aware of this, the word covenant and testament are the same word. It is, your last will and covenant, your agreement to, "This is what I want to happen with my belongings." Hebrews chapter 8, in that he says, "A new covenant he has made the first obsolete." That's where I said earlier that this is the last Jewish Passover that God is accepting as a Passover. After this, it is the communion, because he's made the other one obsolete. I've been repeating this, and it's necessary. That's what the whole entire letter to the Hebrews is about. Stop practicing Judaism if you're a Christian. You're a Christian now. We don't do that. Our perfect sacrifice is in Christ. He is our Passover, a better covenant than the Mosaic covenant. Just in case. But back to this is my blood. Blood is a distasteful topic in general. I mean, when you see blood, the first thing you ask, "Is it me?" Because if somebody's leaking, and you don't want it to be you. The second thing, if it is you, is how bad is it? And if it's the other person, the second thing is, "Boy, I'm glad it's not me." Then how bad is it? Because blood is a big deal. It's, you go, fire, we all notice fire. You go into a restaurant, and if they have little candles on the table, you notice that, even though you don't, look at, the candles. Subconsciously, it's there. Blood is more so. It's again, a distasteful topic. Would you rather visit a greenhouse or a slaughterhouse? Years ago, I had a friend. One assignment for him was a slaughterhouse in Pennsylvania. So he's telling me the story. He says, "So I went to the, you know, to see the made a customer a call, and they offered me a tour, and I said I'll take it." And they said a nurse gave the tour. Well, why is that? Because people faint when they see what happens to these cows. They faint. Not all of them. He didn't. He said, I held it together, but that skinning part was pretty rough. So, again, the blood, the gore, it's when you see blood, it's serious, like a leak on a submarine. That's a serious thing. I mean, everybody in the sub knows if you're seeing a leak, you don't just say, it's not that bad. It's a big deal. So it is with blood. And God never meant that we should be ignorantly pleased with the word blood. If you need a transfusion, you're in that sense, you're pleased, but it's still saying there's something wrong. The sight of blood is a sermon in itself, preaching to humanity something is not right here. And death can be closer than you think. The first mention in Scripture and human history of blood, it comes in the context, it surrounds a crime scene. It is when Abel was killed by his brother Cain. And God confronts Cain, the murderer. And remember, it was not long after they went to worship that this murder took place. In Genesis 4, God asks Cain, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Now, blood is implied when the animals were skinned to cover the nudity, which was an emblem of their sin, Adam and Eve. It's implied there, but the first time it is explicitly stated is there at this crime scene, violence being done to God's word by Adam and Eve and by Cain. Medically and theologically, it symbolizes trouble and hope. That's what blood is. It is a big deal. It reminds the sinner that sin is deadly, that it will bleed them out if something is not done. And this is why Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for remission of sins." And so again, while the world is out there trampling on God's planet, committing forgery by saying he didn't do it, he didn't create this, it somehow happened, just in violation to reason, which is the norm now, because as we look at how this thing that starts with a C and ends with a 19, we see how it's handled. We see they don't care about science. They don't care about reason. They just care about whatever they care about, and that is their control and power and madness. Wouldn't it be great if at the highest levels of government we had people on their knees praying to the Lord Jesus? What a difference that would make. That will be the case in the millennial reign, largely, when we come back as kings and priests, representatives of the Lord, in a global ministry that we will have. Anyway, tragically, God's blood is wasted on too many. Hebrews 10, verse 29, "Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" Man, Paul's laying it on, isn't he not? But there he is talking about the communion table. The plan of God has always kept blood in religion ever since sin. Exodus chapter 24, at the giving of the law, Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you according to all these words." Well, that's the old covenant, and that's the covenant that Jeremiah said would be replaced. But Israel and Judah's not ready for it right now, although on an individual level they are. By blood, humans live and die, Exodus 17. Blood is the life of the animal. It's human motor oil. Without it, everything seizes up and stops working completely. And by the blood of Christ, we can be saved from death. Isaiah 53. I mean, the Bible's just all over this. That's where I'm going. God is just all over these. It's over 400, some count up to 500 prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, not counting so many types. Prophecies fulfilled and implied. It's so much. The Holy Spirit says, I'm on this. I've got this. I'm going to bake it into the Bible, and it will be there. It will be a meal. It will be the bread of God for all those who would take it. And that's why I'm reading these verses. These cross-references aren't casual. None of them are. They come alongside the story, and they insist. They demand the verdict from the hearer. Which side are you on? Are you with Christ? Do you see his word is so solid? Or are you an outsider and content to be an outsider with your sins on you? So Isaiah, that 53rd chapter, Isaiah saw more concerning the Messiah than any of the prophets. Well, at least he records more. Isaiah 53, talking about the crucifixion of Christ, he says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we're made whole. By his stripes that broke the skin, poured out the blood, we are healed. And so Mark 10, verse 45, once again, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life ransom for many. So John the Baptist says that everybody can believe him. That's what John wanted. What do you want, John? I want people to believe that he is the Christ. The one who was before me and is preferred before me. He is self-existent. John was chronologically older than Jesus Christ, but not self-existent. Christ, of course, existed long before the birth in Bethlehem. He is eternal, from eternity past, being God the Son. Verse 25 now. Jesus speaking, assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Well, this assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit. Now, that's the bread, too. He's not going to take the table. This Mark has reduced it to the fruit of the vine. Luke says this, I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So there is no omission in thought, just the details just not written down in one gospel, but it's found in the other. Ergo, the great benefit of cross-reference. Anyway, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to have this blood and cup until the millennial kingdom comes. That's how I see this. I'm not the only one. I'm going to stop saying that so you can just think it's me. And it's, boy, he's pretty full of himself. And then when you say something to me, I can bust you. I say, I'm not the only one. Anyway, there will be those commemorative bloodless sacrifices in the millennial age. You can read about that in Ezekiel 43 and 45, where the sacrifices are taking place. But they're pointless, and as in Hebrews, you know, Paul's saying, they're just, Christ is our perfect sacrifice. That's a whole study on itself. Either way, here we go. Jesus, again, authorizing this Passover until he returns for communion of the believers. Verse 26 now. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives on the outskirts of Jerusalem, just across the Kidron Valley and up the hill, and there you are, the olive press. There aren't that many olive groves there anymore, but it is still there, and you can see the city from there. That's, of course, where the Garden of Gethsemane is and where he will be arrested. The ugly kiss of Judas will be planted on him. The Jews, where he says here, and they had sung a hymn. The Jews take Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, and these were the psalms they would sing at the Passover. Jesus joined his disciples. He's going to teach them scripture. He's fellowshipping with them. They're having communion, and he prayed. When he took the bread, he gave thanks. He prayed. So we have Acts 2:42 in motion in just this one little section here. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and prayer, fellowship, and the breaking of bread, which is the communion table. But this group of psalms contains statements befitting the events that are about to unfold for Jesus. So we'll take a few of them. We don't know what psalms of the 113 through 118 that they did sing. We know they did sing at least one as they left. Maybe he did what we know as Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. You see, it would be befitting with the cross lying just hours away. Psalm 118, I'll take verses 6, 22, 27. Yahweh is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That would have been an appropriate part of the song before the cross. Or how about this? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And then one of my favorites in relation to this, and I mean it is profound, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. All of this has to do with him. He's singing with them, knowing he's going to suffer for them, for us. I mean, I don't know. If we try to put ourselves in his place, how do you see yourself if you were going on death row in just hours for a crime you did not do? Would you be preaching the gospel? I think most born-again Christians, if not all, would be doing that. Me, I might be the exception. I'd be thinking of how to get out of that jail. It's like, no, I'm kidding. We have examples of this in Paul. Paul said, pray for me that I could preach with boldness. He didn't say, pray for a good lawyer. He's, pray for me. I'm here in prison. I'm God's prisoner. That's why, you know, God's bondservant, God's prisoner, that's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He did not consider himself a prisoner of Rome. And so we should also not lose sight of who we are in this world. Anyway, our New Testament, it emphasizes what is inward, what is spiritual. There's no way around that. But that's not all it does. It leaves a place for those things that are tangible, those physical things about us, not only the inner man, but the outer man and his senses. They're ministered to also, and singing does that, which Christ did with his disciples. The meal did that very thing. It's not all spiritual, that's primary, but there are just other things about us. It's okay. It's okay to enjoy things. They build us up. If you're doing a budget for yourself, you should leave some space for fun. I mean, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy and can drive you nuts. It's okay to do that. Years ago, as a young man, God put this accountant in my life who just did so much for me to get me to Virginia and be able to preach. And we're laying out a budget. And he said, you got to have some money here for just you. And it was wise advice. Trying to be this stoic. I know some of you husbands are like, don't say it. Don't. Well, maybe the wives are saying it. Don't say it. Because the men can be brutal too. Look, I just bought the new boat. You know what they say? Love goes out the window when poverty comes in the door. So watch out for those things. We're all born with a full sack of luck and an empty sack of experience. And the goal is to fill that sack of experience before the sack of luck runs out. And I don't believe in luck as the world believes. But I am saying you've got to experience things. You can do them by putting your hands on it and getting them gnarled, or you can perceive. I prefer perception. You know, when I hear somebody say, hold my beer, I'm not holding it, I'm getting away from that person. It's just that person does not perceive. Anyway, so our Lord, he goes to Gethsemane. But how does he go? fortified the communion table, his disciples with him. He knows the traitor is loose. He knows what's coming. But he is a fortified man. He has allowed his inner man and his outer senses, the tangibles, to be ministered to. Verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.'" No exceptions. All of you. This is the word of Christ. It is the word of Scripture. It is a twofold witness here. He could have just said, "all of you," but he says, "as it is written." He puts that in. Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me, for it is written." And we'll get to the written part in a moment. No exceptions. They will scatter in panic, simply leaving the Lord to do his perfect work, but not without messing things up a little bit. He says, "for it is written," yet another fulfilled prophecy, as I mentioned, one of hundreds. Zechariah 13, verse 7 is what he is quoting here. Now, in Zechariah chapter 11, God addresses the false shepherd, Antichrist, ultimately. But here in chapter 13 of Zechariah's prophecy, he's now addressing Messiah. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion." And the Hebrew word for companion, translated companion by New King James, is actually the equal. So the Father is speaking about Messiah, and he is calling him his equal here in Zechariah 13. That's a bonus. Won't charge you for that one. Says Yahweh of hosts. Incidentally, one of the Hallel Psalms that they would sing said, "Yahweh is God." So we don't lose sight of that either. So where it says Yahweh here is God. "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones." And that's the persecution that, of course, has followed. So there we have Jesus quoting Scripture. Now we have to remember, they've never witnessed him fail. He's walked on water. He's stopped storms. He's cleansed lepers. Christ could just go into a hospital and just empty the place with just, everybody's okay now. And everybody get up and go. It's incredible. But now they're going to see him fail. They can't get their heads around this easily. It wasn't up to them to understand. They had been exposed to enough of him to submit, just like you and I. We have been exposed to enough logic from Scripture that we're just off to obey now. There's no more trying to convince me. Satan coming along, having in the early stages of your faith, perhaps you read the Bible looking for contradictions. That's okay. You work through that. But as you start eliminating those contradictions, you get to the point where you say, okay, we're done with this. Now I will reconcile it for theological purposes, but I don't doubt the word of God anymore, because doubt brings confusion, and confusion brings weakness, and weakness can bring disaster, and we're going to see that in just one moment. So they don't have to understand what he's saying. They have to submit, which they do not. A thought-provoking point. Jesus says, "because of me." You will all be made to stumble because of me. That is all the martyrs through the ages, all the believers who have accepted the hazards of following Jesus Christ understand that it is written, that, and God's word is true. And it is because of him that they suffer persecution, and he's worth it. Ergo the word worship. So here, had Peter listened to what the Lord was saying, quoting Scripture, instead of having his feelings overrule the Lord and Scripture, he would have been ready. He would have been ready in Gethsemane, and he was not ready in Gethsemane. And he was not ready through that night. Verse 28, "but after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Now, they're not listening to that part, especially Peter. Peter is like, "huh? What do you mean we're going to forsake you? I'm not the traitor. I'm not the guy you were talking about when he dips with me. That's not me. I stopped eating after that." I don't know if he did that, but as I mentioned, I would have not had anything else for a week. Well, milkshakes, but that's not eating.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio for this study in the Book of Mark. Cross Reference Radio is the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville in Virginia. To learn more information about this ministry, visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. Once you're there, you'll find additional teachings from Pastor Rick. We encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of each new edition of Cross Reference Radio. You could search for Cross Reference Radio on your favorite podcast app. That's all we have time for today, but we hope you'll join us next time as Pastor Rick continues to teach through the Book of Mark, right here on Cross Reference Radio.